All right, so this is Forrest Solis interviewing Vicky Neary on May 28, 2016 at 10:05 for the Creative Push Project. Okay, so why don't we set it up the first conception even.
Okay, well, my first conception was a miscarriage. So after that, the second conception, it was planned. We wanted to have a child. We were living in New Zealand, and we decided after the first one to just keep trying. And Colin was, I don't know, during the pregnancy, I gained only 25 pounds. In fact, at the 7-month point, my doctor said I needed to stop hiking and start gaining weight because I had only gained maybe 10, 15 pounds by then. So I really had to start sitting back. And so I gained a total of 25 pounds, which wasn't enough because I lost it within 2 weeks and I was really thin afterwards. So I after that, I made sure I gained a lot more weight. Then as far as plans, I attended Lamaze training because I didn't want to have any drugs and I wanted to do it as naturally as possible. I also attended La Leche League meetings because I wanted to breastfeed my child, because my my husband's brother's children, the two of them had been born before my first and had extreme milk allergies. So I thought, and I knew my family is riddled with allergies. So therefore I thought, okay, I really want to do the best. And during, you know, this is back in the 70s and not everybody did, but in New Zealand where we were living, it was a very positive thing for women to breastfeed their children. The pregnancy went really well. Everything worked great. I'm trying to remember. Oh, except when it came to the due date, my doctor saw me, and I knew that he was famous for inducing so that he could go golfing whenever he wanted to. He didn't, but I had told him I did not want to be induced. Well, he wanted an X-ray done.
Battery?
Headphones.
Died? And we need smaller batteries for the headphones. Or do they take
double
A?
I can still hear it.
Do they take double A?
No.
They take triple A?
I don't think they take batteries.
Oh, they just go on a charger. Okay, let me see for a second, though. Sorry about this.
That's okay. They might take batteries.
They might take batteries. Let me...
My Sony's and you know there's something pops off and there's a battery in there.
Yeah, I know.
But it's a.
I don't know where that would be.
They're really hard to find sometimes where that.
I know they are. Mine too had one right here that popped
right.
off.
Right. It's usually where the power button is. Is there a power button on that?
Yeah, right here.
So it's usually in the same head. The two that I have, it's in the same headset, same ear. Mm-hmm. As where the power button is. If
Do
that,
you have the charger for this in there?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can just plug this into your computer.
Can I hear? Can I still hear out of them? It's not noise reducing, but if I can still hear what's going on, I think that's fine.
Okay. Because then I can bring my computer into the next one. We can throw it on my computer.
Yeah.
We can actually charge it in the car on the way there.
Yeah. I mean, I hate that it doesn't say like when it's getting low. It just dies.
Has it been recording? It's been recording the whole time.
Oh yeah, shh. Can I pause this?
Do you want me to stop that for the same length of pause?
Yeah.
Oops. Okay. As far as the pregnancy was concerned, this was a very happy pregnancy, very easy. I didn't have any. The morning sickness was minimal. If I had any, I don't even remember having morning sickness. And I skied. He was born in January. I was skiing in July. That's winter in New Zealand. I hiked up a mountain at 7 months. I was just really healthy. And so, and there were no problems. And then when the doctor said he wanted to do an X-ray, I was like, you know, this was before they did sonograms, and he felt that the head was too large. And then he he did the x-ray. Being a first-time mother, I didn't know what to say. I didn't say no. I let him do what he wanted to do. And he said that the head was very large. Well, my husband has a very large head, so that didn't surprise me. I said, well, I want to wait another week or two, because I felt I had been taking temperatures when I got conceived to know when I was ready to conceive. And my date was 2 weeks after his date. And because he was dating it from the last period and I was dating from when I figured conception occurred. And so I wanted to wait for 2 more weeks. And he said, your baby is alive now. He could be dead in 2 weeks. And I mean, I was horrified. That was the worst thing I've ever, I didn't know what to say except, okay. So I went into the hospital and I was upset. I was crying. I didn't want to have this baby now. I wanted to have him when he was ready. Of course, I didn't know it was a he, because in those days you didn't know anything. They admitted me, I believe, the night before. And then in New Zealand, everything is very different. They keep you for 10 days after a birth. So I was admitted the day before, 8 a.m., because they induced me. And nothing happened. The way they did induction was to break the membrane. And nothing happened all day long. And so finally, and I don't remember exactly when they started a Pitocin drip. I don't remember if it was that night, because knowing him, he wouldn't want to come in the night. So he may have waited till the next morning, in which case I just know that I didn't have much sleep. I didn't do very well. And the Pitocin brought on the labor very quickly. I mean, so I think he must have started it the next morning. And the contractions were real strong, and all my training helped through the pain, but I reached a point where they kept offering me Demerol, and I took it. But it was really the wrong timing, and I always felt like I shouldn't have, you wanted to have this natural childbirth, and now you failed to have a natural childbirth because you accepted a painkiller. And it was actually a negative thing, because I lost control of everything. And then the doctor finally came in, and he said, this was about after, 30 hours since I had been induced. He said, this baby's not progressing as he should, and he's facing the wrong way. I don't remember, anterior or is posterior, whatever. He's facing the wrong way, so we're going to put you out. Well, so I was put out. My husband was sent out of the, because he was allowed to be with me during the labor. That much was good. I was put out, and he was delivered with high forceps, which is not done in the U.S. at that time, wasn't done at that time. But I had to trust that the New Zealand system, because their infant mortality rate is the lowest, lower than the U.S. And everybody said, oh, you're going to have a baby in a foreign country. But I had researched, and I figured they knew what they were doing. The other option would have been C-section, and they chose high forceps. He was delivered, and I was wakened and in the delivery room. And it's a good thing they woke me up, because I wouldn't have believed that was my baby, because he had red hair and a lot of it. And I said, whoa. But when I look back, there are members of my family, cousins and that have red hair. So obvious, it's not weird, but...
So did the Demerol put you out?
It didn't put me out, but it made me so sleepy that I wasn't concentrating. I don't know if when you use the Lamaze method, you have to time when the contractions come. And I had a song that I sang in my head when the pain got the worst. It's not that it eliminates the pain. You're so concentrated on something else that you can get through the pain. When we practiced, my husband used to pinch my Achilles tendon. And it's a lot of breathing, and I don't even remember all of it. Sometimes I use that breathing when I'm in the dentist's office. you know, if it's a bad situation. But it's kind of funny because I used to sing, "High on a hill was a lonely goat herd lay," or, you know, and I, anyway, in my head all the while that through the pain, and I just lost it. The Demerol, it made me too sleepy to continue what I was doing. And I had pushed for hours. I was in a, you know, pushing phase. That was why the doctor decided I was exhausted and he had to deliver, you know, pull the baby out rather than me deliver the baby. Anyway, so then we spent a lot of time in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 9 days afterwards because they wanted to keep me for 10, and I finally begged them to let me out because I'd been in the hospital for 11 because I was in there 2 days before he was born. And he was 6 pounds, 13 ounces. So he was really scrawny looking because he had this big head, but there was nothing wrong with him. It's just that his father has a big head. And it was, I don't remember a lot about the hospital stay. I know that I cracked my tailbone when I was 16. So when he was delivered, because of his large head, he bruised my tailbone. So I was in a lot of pain afterwards because of the tailbone issue. But what they do in New Zealand is they teach you how to bathe the baby. They help you with nursing the baby. I remember some very frustrating times because of the milk allergies. They wanted to give him some formula, and I refused to let them give him formula because of the milk allergies. And so there was a big sign on his bed, "No milk for this little guy." And there was also, La Leche League women brought some milk, of their milk. They donated milk because they were giving him boiled water. And they said, I don't know, because it was my first time being a mother. I don't, you know, you're not supposed to have the milk. But they were acting like the fact that I didn't have milk was an issue. And I remember sitting there in the bedroom trying to nurse him, and he'd been getting milk from, they'd been giving him boiled water, sugar water from a bottle, and he was having trouble latching on, and I was frustrated, and the nurse came in and she started saying, "Oh, bad mama," and I'll never forget that because he was screaming and I'm trying to nurse him and the nurse is telling me that I wasn't a very good mother. And I thought, anyway, it was not that part. The pregnancy was a great experience. The birth was not so hot, and the afterwards in the hospital was, you know, there are positive things for keeping women, you know, teaching you a lot of things. They taught us, I don't remember them anymore, but I know they taught us to bathe them. And he was jaundiced, so he didn't spend much time under billy lights. I put him in the window, and the sunlight was on him. So that's how he. Got rid of his jaundice. And then, of course, everything came in. And I had problems with nursing him like any new mother. I had some mastitis. I had some difficulties. He was a real colicky baby. And he didn't like to sleep. He finally settled down as he got older and would sleep through the night. But during the day, he didn't nap. He would take a 15-minute nap, and then he'd wake up again. And he was so... I mean, I think every first-time mother is exhausted. But my mother came to visit when he was 6 weeks old, and she said, "Oh, he just likes a human mattress." And it was true. I carried him in the Snuggly when I didn't have a dryer, and I used regular diapers. So I would try to carry him in the front pack while I would hang clothes on the line, and sometimes I carried him in the backpack. And I carried him all the time. He was, because part of that was because I believed in that. I believed in, and I didn't believe in letting babies cry. So I nursed him. I took my watch off when I realized he was feeding, quote unquote, too often. And so I took my watch off, and I have not worn it for 40 years because I decided I wasn't going to let the clock dictate when I fed him. And I mean, I have a lot of other strange things. I mean, when we moved into a house that didn't have central heating, so we just took him to bed with us when he'd wake up. So he spent most of his first couple of years in our bed, which some people would think is wrong, but anyway, I never have thought it was wrong, and I continued with all of my children in that manner.
Now, were you in New Zealand for your second?
No. So moving on to the second, she was born, well, we were living in North Carolina, and when I went to see the doctor for the first time, he wanted to know about my previous birth, and when I told him, he said, we don't do high forceps in the U.S., so you may have to have a cesarean. And I went over the births, you know, what I wanted, and he said, oh no, you will have the baby because of your background. You will have an IV inserted. You will be in regular delivery room with your feet in the stirrups and all that. And I said, okay. And then I went and found another doctor. And the doctor I found was in Georgia. We were living in North Carolina, but it was about 15 minutes away. And this doctor was very easygoing. He said, no problem. If there's a problem, there is. We're in a hospital, but you can deliver in the labor room if that's what you want. And your husband can catch the baby if he wants to. So he was very progressive for that time. So as far as the pregnancy went, again, I didn't have any morning sickness to speak of, but I grew more quickly. And I had a problem with rashes all over my abdomen. So my abdomen got inflamed. And so I spent a lot of time in very loose, well, you wear loose clothes anyway. I don't remember. I ended up having to bind myself because it was just, I was all out front. You couldn't tell I was pregnant from the rear. But I had this huge basketball in front. So I used wraps to support. And trying to think, there was something else I was going to say. She was also planned. We wanted to have another baby 3 years after the others, after Colin. And so that happened. I gained a little more weight. I think I got up to 40 pounds with her. But everything was working fine.
Was technology different here? So did they do sonograms yet, or did you know the sex?
I did not know the sex on any of them. And the first time I ever had a sonogram was with my fourth. So they did not do that. Maybe it's partly because with the fourth they wanted to do... Well, that's... Anyway, I attended birthing classes again, because I wanted to refresh my mind with Lamaze. And I was in La Leche League anyway, and by that time I was in La Leche League leader. So I was having women come to my home who I was helping. As a teacher, this just came naturally to me. Other than that, I think everything went well. About 2 weeks before the due date, well, it's more than 2 weeks, about 3 weeks before the due date, she decided to have a dress rehearsal. It was storming. We got about 14 inches of snow, and we drove down to Clayton, Georgia to have I thought I was in labor. And it turned out I had a bladder infection, which caused labor-like symptoms. So I went back home, waited 2 more weeks, and then we went for the real thing. And everything in the delivery went well this time. I was able to deliver her without any drugs. And with the first delivery, I'd had an episiotomy, which I still have problems with, because the scar, for some reason, still causes pain. There was no episiotomy with Andrea. My husband was there to catch her. The doctor sat in the birthing room, and I don't know what he was working on, but he was writing, and he'd look over at me every once in a while, and you know, he was just very patient, very kind. He let Dan cut the cord. I wanted to go home as soon as possible. I do believe I ended up spending the night, because her labor was more like 12 hours, but I didn't deliver to her till evening, And so they wanted her, they wanted to keep me overnight because the hospital was a little bit ways away. She was 8 pounds, which is the biggest baby I've had. And it wasn't her head that was large. Her head and her chest were the same size. And of course, the arms are with your chest. So that was the part that was the hardest to deliver. And she was born in the early evening. It was in February. So yeah, obviously we didn't have a storm that night. It was just my husband and I in the room, and then I took her home. We called her the Barracuda, because she nursed so fiercely that she brought blisters up on my nipples, which was a little painful, but she was very healthy and she slept like a dream. She would take like 2, 3, and 4 hour naps. I would go in there to make sure she was alive, because after Colin, I was absolutely sure no baby could ever sleep that long. I was sure that she would not be as intelligent as my son, because my son was very bright. He was talking at 14 months. He was very intelligent. And I thought, she sleeps so much. I figured he was intelligent because he was awake all the time. But that's not true. She's now a doctor and has a very high IQ, as he does too. But she was a lot different. They were like night and day as babies. And as growing up, they were like night and day difference.
So can you talk about the natural contractions versus the Pitocin contractions, or what that
is? Okay, well, yeah. The Pitocin contractions, it just seemed like it was harder. That's all. I mean, I don't remember specifically. Both in all of my deliveries, I've had a lot of back labor, so my back ached a lot. And it just seemed like there was no getting away from it when they were using the Pitocin. I don't know why. Maybe part of it was because they gave me the Demerol too. But I can't remember the labor with Andrea, my second child, as much as I do the third and fourth, because I'm trying to visualize where I was, and I don't have the vision I have of labor is in the third house that we lived in, not in the second. So I don't really remember the contractions with her. I just remember that comparatively, the labor was, it went more smoothly. I didn't lose control. I didn't ever, first of all, nobody was pushing me to take painkillers, because the doctor was he was involved in my wanting to have as natural a delivery as possible. So therefore, he didn't push me. And there was, they never even offered people have that an injection in the back. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Epidural.
Epidural. I absolutely did not want that. And by the time they gave me the Demerol, they had said it was too late for that anyway. And with the other one, they never offered it. I didn't want it. And it worked out so well that I was very happy with the whole situation. And the only thing that was negative for me was that I wanted to go home sooner. I wanted to be with my other child too, who was staying with a friend.
Is there any words or emotions or anything that comes up when you reflect on the experience of that first and second birth?
Oh, I guess with the first birth, I felt like I was frustrated. And I felt guilty that I had accepted drugs. And so with the second, it was more of a sense of elation, a sense of succeeding. I had done it. I had made it through a delivery. I didn't have to have a cesarean, and I had made the right choices. The doctor was the right choice, because the doctor in my hometown where I was living, I did have to push quite a while, but I think the other doctor may have jumped into an epidural, or he may have jumped into a cesarean, and I just felt more comfortable that this doctor was not going to do that to me. And after the experience I had with the first doctor, I was really determined that the second doctor was going to let me have my way, so to speak. And he did. It was all very successful. And that's it. Okay.
Were you also, when you labored in the second, were you able to move around in labor? Or were you on the bed with this?
Each one gets better in a sense, with each of my labors. The second labor, I do not remember walking around much. I only remember mostly being in the bed. I did walk around in the hospital a bit now when I think back, because I remember walking in the hallways, you know, and then it wasn't until the baby was, well, I was fully dilated that I had to stay in the room in the bed. So I did walk around. I had forgotten that. In the other labor in New Zealand, when I had my first child, I don't remember walking anywhere. I was kept in bed most of the time, and that was frustrating too. So, like I said, there's a lot of frustrations with my first birth, and I've had a lot of problems with my first child. I often wondered, did that high forceps delivery cause some sort of damage, because he was always a difficult child, always a rebel. But it could be nothing. I mean, I have felt, looking back, that, you know, what did I do wrong with him that made him so different from my other three children? Could be just because he was the firstborn. I don't know. But anyway, but I felt like I not only was really healthy during, I felt like I was super mom with my second child. Don't ask me how to define that, except that I felt really healthy, really. I did the same things. I always made sure I didn't have any alcohol. I had good food, good vitamins. I stayed healthy. I kept active. So it wasn't a matter of that I was more super mom with her. But somehow I think it was probably the birth experience that made me feel more like super mom, because I was successful in my mind. And, okay.
That's great.
Should I go on to the third one?
Yeah, I think it's a great
idea. Okay.
So maybe give us, like, how much time has passed, and
right.
Is that kind of planned?
Yeah. Okay, with the third birth, it was another 3 years. Definitely planned, because we liked the spacing with the first two. It helped to have a three-year-old who was already potty trained and you could talk to before I had a new baby. And then, he was born in January also. So I had a January 15th baby, a February 28th baby with the second one, and then a January 2nd baby with the third one. And this time I went a step further. I went to a birthing center and said, what I wanted was to be able to have my other children and my family around me when the baby was born. I wasn't prepared to do a home birth because I knew I'd had some problems, but I wanted to have the baby and have everybody there, and I wanted to leave that day. So that was my purpose behind this next baby. We were in a new city, and we moved there in September. So I had to make, I was already 5 months pregnant, so I had to make all these plans halfway through my pregnancy. He wasn't due till late January, but he decided to come early. The pregnancy itself, I do remember having morning sickness with this pregnancy, but again, not severe. I just remember that certain smells bothered me. And also as I gained weight, with the second pregnancy, I had a diastasis that my muscles separated so that they were never really went back together again. And so with the subsequent pregnancies, I wore a girdle that would hold me because it was so weighing on me, and I also got the same rash that I'd had in the second pregnancy all over my abdomen. And so there were some problems, but nothing major. Also, Andrea, the second child, did not want to wean. I nursed all my kids 2 years because of the fact that of the milk allergies in our family and because I believed in it. And she didn't want to wean. And the other La Leche League women assured me that she would wean when the baby was born because she would not like the taste of the milk, the way it changed. But that didn't happen. So I was tandem nursing for a few months after the baby was born, which was kind of a negative experience. I never wanted to do that again, but I didn't want to push her away either because I didn't want her to dislike her baby brother. So it was, but that part was a little frustrating, and I determined I was never going to have that situation again. Anyway, the pregnancy otherwise went well. I gained the right amount of weight. I went in and saw the midwife regularly, like you would a doctor. And she told me around between the holidays, she said, pack your bag. I said, he's not due for another month. She said, pack your bag. I said, okay. And I packed my bag. And it was rather funny because it was, it must have been January 1st, there was some football game on. And I was laying in our waterbed with a three-year-old on one side and a six-year-old on the other side. Well, almost three and almost six. And I felt wet. And I yelled with these two sleeping babies in my arms to my husband, who's out in the living room, because I couldn't get out of the bed. I was, you know, we called it gone cast, because in New Zealand, when a sheep is pregnant and can't get up, they call it gone cast. So, because it needs help, because they, you know, you get so big, it's really hard to move around. Well, I was cast. I could not get out of the bed, and I was wet. And you see, it's 5 minutes to the end of this great game, whatever it was, and he's having to leave the game to come take care of me. I said, I either wet the bed, or the bed is leaking, because it was a water bed, or I've broken my waters. One, you know, I don't know which. So he took the kids and put them in their beds and helped me get up, and we decided that I had, my waters had broken. So this was midnight. Well, there was no contractions at this point, so I waited till 9 in the morning to go to the birthing center, and everything was arranged so that my neighbor came with, and she watched the other two children so that Dan and I could be taking care of. Obviously, my mind was on delivering a baby, and Dan's mind was on me. So she took care of Colin and Andrea. I can remember vividly because Colin had gotten an airplane for Christmas, and Andrea had got something called the musical thing, and they were playing with these toys, their major Christmas present at the time. And Bonnie, my neighbor, was watching them and also coming in and checking on me, because she was very interested, obviously. And then I labored about 6 hours because she was born in the afternoon. He was born about 4 in the afternoon. And the kids were right there. The only problem I had was he was a little bit blue when he was born. He was also 3 weeks early, so they were a little concerned. But I figured that was God's plan, because his head was as big as Colin's by his due date. And God knew I couldn't deliver another baby with a head that large. So they gave me oxygen because he was having a hard time getting out. But other than that, there was no problems. And they said that I didn't tear at all, but there were some skid marks, they called them, whatever that means. And it was even a better situation than the preceding birth, because we were all there together, hugging each other, and the midwife was wonderful, but she kept out of the way, so it was a family thing. And she, I don't even remember her name, there was another one there too, They had me get into a bath afterwards, and I nursed, you know, right away. And then we went home. And I never had, you know, there was no hospital stay at all, which was, other than a home birth, it was the best possible situation for me. And he did well. He was healthy. I think he was 7 pounds, 7 ounces. So he was good, a good size, but they still called him premature because something to do with his fingerprints were not developed. Something was not developed, but his lungs were fine, which is the important thing. And I think that was it. None of my rest of my family was there. My mother lived in Michigan, and we were in Florida at the time. He nursed well, he grew well, he slept well. And by that time, and with the first baby, when the second one came along, we had a family bed in which there was a crib with no side next to it where Colin slept. Andrea slept in the middle. Now we had three babies, so Colin did go to his own bed before the baby was ever born, and then so we still only had two. Well, actually, he was in bed with me, but he was used to falling asleep with me, but then being moved into his own bed. So,
how did the kids deal with the seeing the labor, the birth?
Some people might think children would be traumatized, but they were in their own world with their toys. They would come and look. They would, they were happy to see him, but it was just treated so naturally. And I can remember Colin saying one time, we had taught him about eggs and sperm, and you know he didn't really understand, but he said something about, Ma, you had eggs for breakfast. I said, yes. He said, when the sperm gets to those eggs, we're going to have another baby. So, you know, his understanding was a little different. We had taken them to movies of birth. And I remember his response was, oh, that baby is so dirty. I'm going to give that baby a bath right away. So we got him a doll so that, you know, he could bathe his own baby, because I was a little concerned that he might think he needed to bathe the baby. But I remember him being verbal about the whole birth process. Andrea at three, I mean, she was extremely verbal, but I don't remember her being as interested, although as she got older, she was the more interested of the two of them, because I think just instinctive girl things where, you know, she would stick her baby under her shirt to nurse the baby while I was nursing my baby. Yeah. Anyway.
Did he like the doll? Just out of curiosity.
The funny thing about the doll was that he would pull the doll around by its leg. He wasn't exactly nurturing. We gave our kids all dolls and trucks and trains and, you know, boy things, kitchen things. We tried to give them everything. The boys instinctively went to cars and trucks and treated their dolls like another truck that they carried around. The girls were much more nurturing. I don't know. I mean, it just seems to be the way it is. So, yeah, he wasn't exactly fatherly. We use the word motherly to mean nurturing, but fatherly doesn't have the same connotation. And he did give a baby a bath, but other than that, the baby usually sat around naked, but my girls did that too. The babies never had clothes on. Anyway.
Well, great. How about we transition to the third, okay. The fourth one?
Yeah. With the fourth one, what happened was very different, because we couldn't make up our mind whether we wanted to go for four. We had always said we would have between three and five children. And nursing was most of the birth control between. But then I'd reach a point where I wasn't trusting it, and so I would use some form of birth control. And we were using a form, It was more or less, we're Catholic, and we had been trying to follow the Catholic rules, but of rhythm, where you take temperatures and you you check the, I can't think, the clarity of the mucus that is expelled. And, well, anyway, it didn't work. We also used condoms part of the time, but we didn't use the diaphragm or any of the more complicated birth control methods. And so instead of having a three-year gap, we had a longer gap. It was 3 years and 4 months. And my husband was out of town. And in fact, he was staying with my mother because he was doing something at a university in northern Michigan. And he called, and I said, "Guess what?" And he said, "What?" I said, "We're having another baby. So I hope you wanted 4. It was only after that we made a more permanent decision about birth control, because we did decide 4 was enough. But so she was definitely a surprise. She wasn't very happy when she found out she was a surprise.
Yeah, I think that cat's going to be sick.
They often...
Oh, I feel so badly for her. I think, is this the sick cat?
Yeah, must
no.
be. Got a paper towel, I guess. Yeah. Sometimes they spit up fur balls
one of her
or whatever.
Cats is sick. Is it not this one?
I don't think so.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So shall I start? Are we still going?
No. Oh, we are still going, but wait until we're...
Okay.
I'm making too much noise.
Okay.
I'm walking around.
Yeah, I keep moving my hands. On. It's
oh,
just...
you're actually not making a noise, though. So
okay, I'm not
good.
Touching
yeah,
the table.
Perfect.
Yeah. I know I'm such a hand talker, but that would be the hardest part for me, too.
Okay, hold on.
No, I have to remember where I was.
Yeah. so you at that fourth when you made a more permanent birth control.
Right. I decided that we definitely had to have a more permanent method of birth control afterwards. But in the meantime, it was a little more of an adjustment, because with each other pregnancy, I wanted a baby. I planned a baby. I was happy when I got pregnant. I wasn't unhappy to be pregnant, because it was sort of, well, do we or don't we? But I wasn't... I wasn't unhappy to be pregnant, but it wasn't the same feeling of, we are trying, and now we're pregnant. It was, oh, okay, we're pregnant. Guess it was meant to be. But the adjustment was pretty quick. But all of the pregnancy was very different, because for whatever reason, now we were living in Gainesville, Florida by this point, and I've developed allergies. After my first pregnancy in New Zealand, I developed allergies to pollen and things. And then in North Carolina, the first few years that we lived there, I did not have allergies, but then I developed them again. Well, we had been living in Florida for 3 years, and that's about the time when I start developing allergies to the new place we live in. And so I ended up having a lot of allergy problems, and it became asthma. And I didn't want to take any drugs or do anything different, so I was coping with the fact that I couldn't breathe very well. I did see the doctor about it, and they gave me albuterol as an asthma inhaler. But the first 3 months, I not only was sick, but I coughed and coughed and coughed until I'd throw up, which was not a pleasant experience. I couldn't control the coughing. I didn't realize then that the coughing was sort of an asthma thing. So I didn't know that I had asthma in the beginning. I just knew that I would cough until I would throw up. And I went to the birthing center wanting to have a baby there again, and they said, "You're wheezing." And I said, "Oh, you know, I just wasn't aware." They made me see a specialist, for a pulmonary specialist, and he said, "I can hear you wheezing from across the room. You know, so we're going to put you on an asthma inhaler." So I did start with an inhaler. The birthing center said that because I'd had oxygen with the last child, they were fearful with, now that I developed what seemed to be asthma, that they might have to consider whether at 8 months whether they would actually allow me to give birth in the birthing center. Well, since David had been born at 8 months and 1 week, I didn't want to wait that long to make that sort of decision. So I went and found a doctor who was willing to, they now had a birthing room in the hospital. So I decided that I was not going to have a birth center delivery, but I would go to the birthing room. The doctor I met and talked with said that there was no problem, that I could deliver, I could have the kids there, I could have everything else that I'd had at the birthing center, it just would be in the hospital in case there were problems. So I continued, and my asthma got worse. My in-laws came to visit, and I don't remember exactly, this was in the second trimester, I believe. I know I'd gotten past the first trimester. My husband works as an EMT and was out on an ambulance call. That's not his job, it's his vocation, so to speak. And he was out on an ambulance call, and I went out to dinner with my in-laws and the kids. So I had three kids and my in-laws, and I couldn't eat because I couldn't breathe. And I would try to eat something, and I would choke. I mean, I couldn't, you don't realize you breathe while you're eating. And I just couldn't get enough air. So I kept going to the bathroom and trying to cough and trying to, and I had, didn't have my asthma inhaler with me. So I went and I said to my in-laws, I can't do this. I have to go home. I have to get my asthma inhaler. And, you know, I'm practically choking. And everybody thought I was in labor. I was only about 5 months along, but, you know, with the fourth baby at 3 months along, we went to Vegas because I knew I was going to, I stayed home with my children and never, I didn't get babysitters very often. I didn't work. I stayed home all the time. I did some out of the home work, like I sold Amway for a while. I sold Discovery Toys.
We'll just wait till the meeting is over. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sort of getting this out of order again, but I guess you'll have
to. No. It's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that was it.
Okay. I worked a little bit from the home, but for the most part, I was home with the kids all the time. And when I looked into, you know, I sold Discovery Toys, I sold Amway, and tried to make a little bit of money. But I realized that with the fourth pregnancy, I was going to be home for another 3 years at least, because that was my belief, that I would stay, or maybe five, because I never did go back to work until the youngest was in kindergarten. And it's because it's what I wanted to do, but at the same time, I was feeling a little cooped up. And so my husband was going to Las Vegas for a convention, and I went with him. I was 3 months pregnant, and I left my three-year-old for the first time with friends, and all. It was quite an arrangement to get all of them with different people because we didn't have family close by. Our family is in Michigan and Wisconsin, and we lived in Florida. And we made all these arrangements, and I remember it because I was 3 months pregnant, and I was being put in the front of lines because of my pregnancy, because I didn't even know I was pregnant. My neighbor asked me if I was pregnant, and because I started to pooch out immediately. And I said, I remember what I was wearing the day she asked me if I was pregnant. And I said, I don't think so. Wait a minute. I could be. It was like, that's, you know, I didn't even think about it because it hadn't been a planned pregnancy. Every other time I knew exactly when I was pregnant. So anyway, I expanded earlier, and going back to the story about the asthma, I was in the restaurant. I was 5 months pregnant, but I looked full term to some people. I was a lot bigger when I was full term. And the everybody was looking at me because I was sort of standing over the chair, but it was because I couldn't breathe. They thought I was going into labor. So we hustled out of got them to bring our food. I'm never one to waste anything, so we had to take our food with us. We drove home from the restaurant, and of course, this was pre cell phones, so we couldn't get a hold of my husband. I knew I wasn't going into labor, but I could not breathe. Colin, who would have been 9 years old by then, ran into the house and got my asthma inhaler because I said, "This is too bad. I will not be able to get out of this with a hat." I mean, I was talking between breaths, and it felt like I was underwater. I felt like I was, that's obviously impossible, but I felt like I was breathing through water. And I said, "This won't be enough. I have to go to the emergency room." So while my husband's out working on the ambulance, I'm going to the emergency room. And they gave me 3 shots of epinephrine before I pulled out of the asthma attack. And after that, I had to start taking theophylline, which is a drug that's no longer used for the most part because it has terrible side effects, in my opinion, and in most people's opinion. I don't know what they use now, but there's all kinds of things. But at that time, it's a systemic drug that you have to have blood draws to determine the level in your blood. And they would give me a certain amount that I'd be taking daily. It would cause nausea, insomnia, and palpitations. So I would be up all night. I can remember doing laundry in the middle of the night. I would watch TV in the middle of the night. I would read books, and then I had to face the day with 3 kids. You know, but luckily, Colin was in school and Andrea was in school, so I really only, and this would have been, she was born in May, so it was during the school year, so I didn't really have to deal with 3 kids all day long. I just had the 3-year-old, and he was fairly well behaved, but he's still a kid. But I did have a lot of issues with that pregnancy because of the asthma. And then as the drug would settle in, the 3 symptoms that I was having would go away and the wheezing would come back. Then I'd go back and they'd up my dose. Then the palpitations and the insomnia and the nausea would come back. But I'd be breathing better. And then I would go through that. For the next couple months, that's what I did until I managed to reach the right level. So it was obvious I wasn't going to have this baby in a birthing center, even if I wanted to change my mind because of my asthma. Luckily, I don't have asthma anymore, but just telling this story makes me feel like I can't breathe. It's kind of weird. I feel like I need to stop and take a good long breath. Anyway, so the next part would then be, again, I had a lot of rash on my belly. I had a very large extended abdomen, but I didn't gain weight most places elsewhere. Whereas with the first child, I lost the weight in 2 weeks. With the second child, I lost that weight in 6 weeks. With the third child, I lost the weight in 3 months. With the fourth child, I kept some of the weight on. But that's okay, because I was always underweight. So when I went into labor, my mother came this time for the first time. I have to go back a little bit. I've always had a garden. And in Gainesville, Florida, we didn't have a yard big enough for a garden. But we rented a plot out at the university. And I went in. I was in the garden, gardening with the kids with me when I felt I was going into labor, and this was in April. She wasn't due till June. My husband was with me, and so we went to the hospital, and that was the first time I'd ever had a sonogram. And they asked me at the time, "Do you want to know what you're having?" Because everything was fine, and I didn't deliver her that in April. But I said, no, I haven't. I haven't known for the others, so I might as well not know for this one. So I didn't find out until she was born. But if I can go back again, another thing that was different is I was 35 by this time. With my first, I was 26. Second, I was 29. The third, I was 32. And with the fourth one, I was 35. And one of the things they immediately said is the danger of Down syndrome. And they said they wanted to do amniocentesis. And I said, why? And they said, because we would like to determine if the baby has Down syndrome. I said, what would you do if the baby had Down syndrome? Well, then you could abort. I said, I absolutely will not abort. My sister has not a Down syndrome baby, but a mentally retarded child who is a joy. I mean, yes, she is slow and simple, and they have to be work with her, but I wouldn't. It's part of my religion and part of who I am that I would not have aborted a child. And I had read that there is a small percentage of a chance of abortion or spontaneous abortion or miscarriage if you do an amniocentesis. I said, I'm not going to take the risk when I wouldn't abort anyway. And they said, well, wouldn't you want to know? I said, no, I don't want to know for 9 months that I'm going to have a baby that has, I just want to be happy with the pregnancy. And if something happens and there is a problem, we'll face it when the time comes. That's just the way it is. So when she nearly came early, it did start me to worry. And then I had to stop gardening because that was a lot of extra effort to go out, several miles, drive out there and work in the garden. So my garden didn't get taken care of for the next 2 months. And I went out there after she was born, and there were things growing. It worked. It went, there were a lot of weeds too. But anyway, gardening was always important to me for some funny reason. I guess I like to grow things. And as far as the rest of the pregnancy then, it went as the same. I did have to use my asthma inhaler. I was still using it on the day I went into labor. I was, on theophylline, but I was using the rescue inhaler of either albuterol or Ventolin periodically. And that one I remember, it was in the morning that I went, my waters broke. And in the last two pregnancies, when my water broke, it was what they called a high kick. I think that's a joke, but that the water broke high, leaked out, and then the lining fell down and covered so that the water no longer was leaking out, so that they couldn't tell that the water had broken. They just had to take my word for it. And I remember with David, who was my third child, they doubted that my water had broken. And I said, well, I didn't wet the bed. But with Erica, they also doubted, the nurses, when I called, when they examined me, no, everything's intact. It's just open, but there's no leakage. So anyway, that was sort of frustrating. It's like, come on, I know what I'm doing. This is my fourth time around. I know that this is my water breaking. I'm not making this up. So I did, at 9 o'clock, I did go in. No, I didn't go into the hospital. I did go in to be checked, but I came back home. It's kind of funny because with the last two, because you have older children, I can remember them watching TV while I was in labor. And I would be standing over the table with my, with somebody rubbing my back and going through the labor contractions and singing my little song and doing my breathing. And I could hear Pete's Dragon in the other room. And I'll always remember with my fourth child that Pete's Dragon was the movie that the kids were watching. So we had to wait till Pete's Dragon was over before we could go in to the hospital. And that would have been about 3 or 4 in the afternoon we went into the hospital. And again, we took, let me think. No, we only took the older two. I believe with each of the children, I had bought them a special gift if they had to stay behind. With one, it was a doctor's set. With David, it was than the Incredible Hulk or some toy that he got. And he went to a friend's house. But the 9-year-old and the 6-year-old came to the hospital. They did not want the 3-year-old there. And they, while I was laboring, they were spent a lot of time watching TV. At home, they weren't allowed to watch some of the programs that they watched that night, and they remember that to this day. They were allowed to watch, I think it was Mr. T or something like that. It was not a program. I mean, I carefully monitored their television. They watched child-appropriate things, and they just thought it was... That's what they most remember about my labor, was that they got to watch TV. They got to watch something that wasn't allowed at home. And one of the things that I remember the most is that I realized about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, that every time I used my asthma inhaler, my labor was stopping and it was slowing down. And I thought, this is going to take forever. So my fourth labor actually took longer than my second and third babies because of the fact that I was using the asthma inhaler to breathe better, and then the labor would... then everything would slow up and I would end up... And I did a lot of walking around, I remember, with that labor. A lot of walking. And my mother was there, which was a new for me because she had never been at any of my other deliveries. She's a nurse, so it was a good thing. You know, she wasn't going to be passing out or... Well, I don't think any woman would pass out. They've all been given birth. But she helped with the kids, and she stood by my head like my husband. And we did name Erica Lucille. Lucille's my mother's name when she was born, because my mother was right there. And I remember that my doctor went on vacation the week that I had this baby. I was due June 7th. And he said he was going to be back June 5th. I said, I had the last one 3 weeks early. He said, oh, I'll be back. All right. And so I had a totally different doctor, somebody I had never seen before, delivered. He was really nice. I do remember he was black. Not that that's significant. He just was such a sweet man. And I remember him telling me that I should be teaching women how to give birth, because I did so well. So I didn't get to have another home. I mean, didn't ever get to have a home delivery. I didn't get to go back to the birth center, but it was a real positive experience because Erica was small. She wasn't smaller than Colin, but she had a little teeny head, and she probably was about 7 pounds. I can't remember now without looking it up. And she was the very easiest one to actually deliver. Her labor was just as intense and actually longer than the two previous ones because of my asthma. But she was easy to deliver. I mean, I hardly pushed at all, which was nice because I had pushed for hours with Colin. And I remember I pushed an hour or two with Andrea, and the same with David. So the fact that she came in like 15 minutes once I started pushing was a positive thing. And then, like I said, having the doctor, whom I never met before, say, well, I didn't have to do anything. You did it all. You should be teaching people how to do this. I thought, thank you very much, but this is my last. I don't think I'll be teaching anybody anything more. Maybe how to nurse them. And as far as there were no complications afterwards, but I did have to stay in the hospital because she wasn't born until 10 o'clock at night. And by that time, the pediatrician was gone, and they don't let you take the baby home unless the pediatrician has checked over the baby. And I wasn't going to go home without the baby. So my husband went home with the other kids, and I stayed in the hospital. And I'm just shivering right now because I can remember how cold I was afterwards. And I don't remember that in all the other births, but I remember I was just trembling, and I don't know why. I did have... The only other slight problems I had was slight hemorrhaging. And I remember when I did go home and I picked up my three-year-old, who was almost three and a half, that I could feel a clot move down the birth canal. You know, so I still was hemorrhaging, and I had to say, I can't pick him up anymore. Because, you know, he was a good-sized kid. And my mother took over from that. Another thing I remember distinctly was my mother was all concerned because my uterus was external to my muscles. And so it would be outside. The diastasis had really opened up, of course. And but when I was nursing, I could feel it tightening down. And she said, you're going to have surgery for that. And I said, if I do, I do. But if I don't, if I can get it to go back the way, you know. And it took probably a week. And I was physically tucking it back inside for about a week. And then it started closing up. But it never, my belly will never be the same after having four kids. So, but Erica was probably, she was the second in weight. And she was an easy baby, a little more colicky than her two previous siblings, but not anything I couldn't handle. You know, she was fairly easy. And by that time, we went to Disney World, not when she was itty bitty, but when she was 6 months old, and I just tucked her under my shirt and stood in line with the kids and nursed her while I was waiting to get on the rides. And it was totally different thing from your first child, where with your first child everything is so strange. By the time you get to four, I can't imagine what people do when they get to 9 or 10. Maybe they, you know, but they do. The older ones help a lot because they entertain the baby, and so it's a lot easier with the fourth one than it was with the others. I don't remember if there's anything else I should say.
I think you're doing great. Can you maybe reflect on your birth experiences and talk about them as a whole, or mm-hmm. is there anything when you look back at that?
Well, I think that as far as the birth experiences, definitely Colin was the least enjoyable experience because everything I had planned went out the window. I was induced, which I didn't want. I took drugs, which I didn't want, and then I was put out and wasn't awake and aware during the... So there's no way that was a good experience. But I had a baby, and I remember distinctly feeling that, I don't know, of exhilaration that I produced this baby. I mean, okay, I didn't see him come out and all that, but this is mine, and the feeling of loving him. I mean, I bonded with him immediately for whatever reason. I mean, just right away. And he, even though he was my most difficult child, I remember it feeling like falling in love again. This is, and I remember that with each of them, but it's more so with the first, because he was the first. And so that, the after, you know, I was in pain because of my tailbone, I was in pain because of the incision, or the episiotomy, but I still remember that feeling of elation, of love, and that it's all over. I have done this. With the second and third, you know, they were well-planned, well-orchestrated, and worked out exactly the way I wanted everything to work out. With the fourth, because of my asthma, was a little more difficult. The pregnancy was more difficult, but the birthing, it would have been better if I hadn't had asthma. But it wasn't anything I had control of. But once I realized that I had, that the asthma inhaler was causing me to slow down the birth process, I just said, well, then I'll have to have oxygen if you need to give me oxygen, but I'm not going to take another 10 hours to have this baby. I do remember, and you know, they say you forget the pain, and that's somewhat true. I have had back pain since. I've had 3 back surgeries, and the back pain is, you know, that may, reminds me of the back pain I had during labor. It's very intense, and for me it was, you know, low back pain, and ultimately I've had a lot of low back pain. And maybe, no, I don't think it had anything to do with the babies. It has to do with my spine. But, I mean, I don't regret having any of the babies, obviously. I don't know what else I can say. No.
I think you're good.
Okay.
I think you did great. Are we good, Ashley? All right. So we're going to stop.